Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
John chapter 15, I'm going to be reading from the Good News Translation. So, also, if you're doing the 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to let you know that every day at 3 o'clock, we are here at church praying from 3 to 4. We're praying and we blast music and we pray out loud. If I'm not here, Jacob's here. Jacob's been coming every day since day one. So be here Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, we're here praying for an hour. At 4 o'clock, we do the broadcast because we're motivating the church. We're motivating the people. And let me tell you something. I don't know, some of you guys might have seen it, but the reason it's a sacrifice, it's very hard to preach every single day. On Monday, I preached 4 times. I never thought that would ever happen, but we're preaching every day because we want to see people grow. And so if I sacrifice myself for 21 days and I see even just 3 people grow spiritually, that's 3 people that were not growing that now we can count on to further advance the kingdom of God. So everything you do, even if it's 1 person that it changes, rest assured, be calm, be peaceful, know that your work is producing something, even if it's for 1 person. Holy Spirit night, even if just 1 person's changed and transformed, then it was worth it. Can you say amen? So we never do things just for the multitudes. No, we do things for the people. And when you do things for God, God's going to bring the multitudes. God's going to bring the people. So start with what you have. And so whether it's a lot or a little, use that for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Today, I'm gonna try not to yell and get excited, but it's very hard not to, so I can't make any promises. But I'm going to try. And I'm going to try to preach slower. Amen? So we'll go from there. Also, on Mondays at around 9 or 9:15, we're going live on the... We figured out, thanks to RD and Oscar, we figured out how to go live on my Instagram and the Wednesday night Instagram. So we're going to be preaching more because I believe it's the word that in you begins to cleanse you. So just throwing that out there. That way you guys can also feed your spirit. So John chapter 15, you got it? Let's go to verse 26. Many of you, everybody that ever serves the Lord, you can read it after. Man, you ain't read the Bible all day and you want to read it right now. Hold up, we'll get to that. Whenever we become Christians, whenever we begin to serve the Lord, there's going to be a moment where you get tired. There's going to be a moment where you get weary. There's going to be a moment where all of a sudden the joy that you had feels like somebody sucked it right out of you. It feels like it just doesn't feel the same anymore. You were excited. You used to be excited to go to youth group. Or you used to be excited to go to church. You used to be excited to see the people in church, to worship Jesus. You used to be excited to go to the front and raise your hands. But then all of a sudden it seems like things are changing and things don't feel the same anymore. And when things don't feel the same anymore, it becomes hard to keep living for the Lord. Am I right or am I wrong? It happens to all of us. Just because we're preachers and we have more years in the faith than you do doesn't mean that we've attained something of perfection, or we're no superheroes. We go through the same things you go through. But the reality is in life is that you're going to feel tired at some point. And at some point, it's going to be hard to live out your faith. It's going to be hard to even want to pray for your food. And at some point, you might even feel embarrassed to pray for your food because people are going to see you praying for your food. And at some point, all of these things, you get tempted with all of these feelings and thoughts and emotions. So the question is, what do you do when you find yourself in that place? What do you do when you find yourself in a moment that you know this is the right path you ought to walk on? However, something's dragging you. Something's pulling you to walk down this path. While something inside of you, or everything inside of you, is telling you, if you go down this path, you're going to regret it. And so, What do you do in that moment? What do you do in the moment where you know I should go to church? I have time to go to church. I can, if I just push myself a little bit, if I just show a little bit of effort, I know I can make it. But then you decide not to. You decide to stay home, or you're tempted with other things, or you get distracted by something that the devil sends your way, and then church is over, and then when church is over, you see the clock and it's 9 p.m. or if it's a Sunday, it's 2 p.m. and just your Sunday and your Wednesday night doesn't feel the same anymore. And then comes that moment of regret. And then you start feeling bad for yourself. Then you start feeling guilty. What do you do in those moments? You have to, number one, understand that anytime you feel guilty, it is the devil making you feel guilty. Because guilt, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Guilt, don't forget this, guilt will always pull you away, push you away from God. And the Holy Spirit, what He does is He brings conviction. It doesn't make you feel bad because of what you did. He tells you that what you did was wrong. He says, you know what? Next time, show a little bit more effort and you can make it to church. What am I saying here? What do you do in that moment when you feel that way? Has anybody ever felt that way? I think all of us have. And maybe some of you are feeling that way right now. That you're still going because you know it's the right thing to do, but your heart's not in it. Your spirit's not in it. You just know that's what I'm supposed to do. So what do you do in that moment? Number one, in that moment, you have to remember. Say with me, remember. That God is not mad at you. That is the biggest lie of the devil. I used to remember thinking, when I was young, thinking to myself, God is mad at me because I didn't try hard enough. God is mad at me because I don't feel happy anymore. You have to remember, say with me, remember, that God is not mad at me. But God, say it with me, God understands. Why can I say that God understands? I can say that God understands because the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all things. In other words, everything that you've ever been tempted with, Jesus was also tempted with that. So He knows what it's like to feel sad. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to feel angry. He knows what it's like to not want to go to the house of God. He knows what it's like. But one thing that He knows what it's like that we will never know what it's like is to be betrayed and hung on a cross to die. So Jesus, anytime you feel like you're suffering, remember Jesus suffered more. And because He suffered more, that means He understands what I'm going through and He knows. But just because He understands and He knows what I'm going through does not mean that He's okay with what I'm going through and with how I feel. He can understand me, but the fact that Jesus understands, say it with me, doesn't mean He approves. He's not mad, but He doesn't approve. And He says, come on, let's get up. Let's keep going. So what do we do as young people when we find ourselves in a moment where we want to give up? Who do we go for help? Who do we go for advice? Who do we go to cry out and to let Him know how we really feel? John chapter 15, verse 26. I'll read from the Good News Translation. It says, the Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth. Say with me, the truth.
The truth.
About God and who comes from the Father. I will send Him to you from the Father, and He will speak about me. And you too will speak about me because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is what the Bible calls the Helper. What do we do when we don't feel like pushing anymore? What do we do when we don't feel like walking anymore? What do we do when we don't feel like worshiping anymore? You pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you. Why? Because that is who He is. He is called the Helper. Say with me, the Helper.
The Helper.
What does a Helper do? He helps. So if you need help, who do you go to? The person across the street? Your best friend? Who do you go to? The Helper. If I need money, who do I go to? A homeless person? Who do I go to?
God.
Somebody who what?
Has money.
Somebody who has money. Stephanie's in Bible school, so she's super spiritual right now. She said, you go to God. Yes, you do. But you go to somebody who's got money. So if you need help, who do you go to?
The Helper, the Holy Spirit.
That's who you go to, because that is who He is. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? Because you might have heard us speak about the Holy Spirit. You might have heard us talk about the Holy Spirit. And many people, especially if you have the King James version of the Bible, it says the Holy Ghost. And you might think He's somewhat of a Casper-like person. That He's kind of just floating around and just, bloop, I touch you and you're healed. And you're healed and He has His favorites. And that's not the way it works. Who is this Holy Spirit? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is God. That is who God is. God is everywhere. Am I right?
Amen.
So if God is everywhere, how is God in heaven seated on the throne and Jesus at His right-hand side? God is the Holy Spirit, and it is through the Holy Spirit that God is omnipresent. What does that big word mean? It means that He is everywhere. So God is able to be everywhere by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, here's something very interesting. Have you ever heard people say that Jesus lives inside of you or God is inside of you? You ever hear people say that? You ever hear people say, God is with me? And then when they get up and they cuss and they don't even go to church, and they just know, God's with me. God's with me. You really have to ask yourself, is God really with them? And I'm going to explain something to you. And I'm going very basic so that you can understand. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But those who did receive Him, He gave the right, the authority to be called children of God. When you become a child of God, in other words, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in other words, what does that look like when we say, is there anybody here who wants to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Say, me. And the Bible says that he who confesses his sin and confesses that Jesus died for us and that he is sent by God for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins, that those people that confess Jesus as Lord will be saved. In that moment, something spiritual happens. That's why many of you, if you can remember, when you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know what happened, but you felt happy. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm just smiling a lot. I don't regularly smile, but I'm smiling. And I'm saying hi to people. I'm hugging people. You know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you. Why? Because when we receive Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. The Bible says that it is the Holy Spirit who has sealed us for that day, until the day that Jesus comes back. In other words, there's a stamp on us from the Holy Spirit. How can God know? How can the devil know who belongs to Jesus and who doesn't? We have that spiritual stamp that we belong to God by who? The Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is in us, guess what? You have all the help you need. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have all the help you need inside of you already. It's not by your own strength. It is God literally living in you through the Holy Spirit. So how do we ask the Holy Spirit for help? Very simple. And in a moment of need, in a moment of doubt, in a moment of weakness, you pray and you say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Do you want to know why many people don't get help from the Holy Spirit? Because they don't ask. You will never get something that you don't ask for. Yesterday, when I was teaching about prayer, I said something. I had written down something a long time ago, and I read it, and I said it, and it was this. Notice that all answered prayers are prayers that have been made. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So when you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling with this. I need help. There's something inside of me. I can't explain it. It tells me that this is wrong. But is the Holy Spirit telling you that's wrong? He's not making you feel bad. Has that ever happened to anybody? You can't explain it. But it's something's telling you this is not right. I don't know what it is. And then you go ask somebody, and that other person says, oh yeah, the Bible says this, and you're like, okay, so I wasn't wrong. I wasn't going crazy. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, that's wrong. He's not making you feel guilt. He's not making you feel bad. He's just telling you, that's wrong. Why? Because that is what we call the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into a lie. That's why any time that I've ever heard gossip about other people, or some people come tell me, hey, you know that guy right there in the gray sweater pants? Be careful with that guy, because, you know, and then they start saying things like that. I'm careful. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead me into truth, not into lies. So those people who like to meddle around in gossip and lies, they don't have, and they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. So what do you let guide your life? Is it the Holy Spirit, or is it the situations around you? Because the Holy Spirit will always lead you into truth. And sometimes truth doesn't look so great. For example, I use this example a lot. When I was going to go to Bible school, there was something inside of me that told me, you're going to Bible school. My parents wanted me to go to Grayson County College. And they would tell me, after you're done, after you have a career, you can use that money and pay your way through Bible school. Something inside of me said no. Something inside of me kept leading me into truth. And so truth will not always match common concepts. You know, a lot of parents will say this, well, the Bible says honor your mother and your father. Yes, the Bible does not say that I should honor my father and my mother before honoring the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that was leading me to go to Bible college. So what did I do? I went to Bible college. And the other day we were talking and we laughed because there are many people in that same situation. And there are many parents that speak the way that my parents used to speak. You're not going to have any money. How are you going to live? Now, God's providing for the remodel of the house, which is like, I don't know, I don't even want to say because I almost have a heart attack. But God's providing for everything that is coming this year and next year and the following year. And I never went to a, I guess you'd say, a secular college. So everything that my parents were worried for about me, and I was never worried about, and it never happened. I never had a moment where I said, what am I going to do? I have no money. I have no idea where am I going to work. I should probably study. Why did I go to Bible? I never worried about that. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit led me every step of the way into all truth. And so while there are moments that you may be struggling, and there are moments that you may say, I just don't feel it's okay. When you go to the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He will help you. One of the things that we have as humans is that we like to know that we're in control, right? That's why when you go to a place and you don't understand, it feels weird. In other words, that's why many of us, things that we don't understand, we will criticize. So many of you, even me, I remember seeing people speaking in tongues and I was like, bro, that's weird. They're just speaking gibberish. That's so weird because I didn't understand. Because we criticize what we don't understand. Because we like to know that we are in control. You know what that is? That is the flesh. And when the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth, the Holy Spirit will lead you into a place where you don't fully understand why. But you have to trust Him because He's in control. And that's where many people jump out of the boat. Like, I can't do this, man. I don't know. It feels so uncomfortable. But if you trust God, if you trust the Holy Spirit, it's going to be okay. But God is so loving that He gives us a little bit of sense of security. Why? You know what another name for the Holy Spirit is? Counselor. Say with me, counselor. Counselor. What does a counselor do? Counselor. So who is the Holy Spirit? Not only is He my helper, but He is
counselor.
My counselor. He counsels me. He speaks to me. He tells me what I can do better. He tells me where I'm going.
He's able to make me feel at peace. I just don't understand. Holy Spirit, I mean, you told me to leave there. And what about it? Hey,
if he comes and he counsels you, hey, it's going to be okay. I know they kicked you off. They banned you from Instagram. It's going to be okay. We'll be back in 2 to 3 business days. Don't worry. He counsels you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So when you cry out to the Holy Spirit, we have a promise that he is with us.
Say with me, a promise that he is with us. So, two things. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is my helper and he is my counselor. What is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does? I completely went away from my notes. This is crazy. We're almost done because I'm probably going to have to break it up into two.
What does the Holy Spirit do in my life? Number one, the Holy Spirit makes things easier. Why does he make things easier? Because he helps me. That's why. If I pick up a pile of bricks, is that the same as somebody else helping me pick it up? Does that mean it's still heavy? Yeah. But it's not as heavy because I have somebody else helping me. In life, you don't have to live life so hard. It doesn't have to be so hard because we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be so hard to run from temptation. The Bible says Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says to pray. He goes, pray and be watchful so that you don't enter into temptation. It doesn't say that we're not going to be tempted. It says so that you don't enter into temptation. When you have a helper, you say, I'm kind of being tempted, breaking the fast right now. I really need your help. I'm being tempted because you're dating a little boy, a little girl, and you're going out at 9 p.m. because the sun's down. You're like, okay, now's the time. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Guess what? Next time, don't be so upset when your mom and dad say, nah, you can't go out. Why? Because no, you asked for help, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you. Can you say amen? So the Holy Spirit makes life easier. You're going through some emotions, some insecurities. You're going through a moment where you don't know what to do. You feel like the joy has left you. The Holy Spirit makes things easier. Why? Because he is our helper. He is our counselor. And number three, he's our advocate. Say with me, advocate.
Advocate.
What is an advocate? Taylor, here's one. What's an advocate?
Somebody who argues on behalf of me.
Somebody, that's a good definition. Okay. All right. Somebody who argues. Oh, I almost went black on that one. Man, I got excited. Somebody who argues on your behalf. What does that mean? That's who the Holy Spirit is. I'll explain it to you. When you've fallen into sin, and the devil comes and says, see, that you, man, why are you even trying to go to church? Look at you. Man, you're the worst Christian of them all. Man, you're a hypocrite. Man, why are you even raising your hands? Why are you even going to the front? Man, don't go to the front. Everybody knows what you did. I know what you did. You know what you did. You know who you really are. I'm just telling you things that the devil's spoken already to me in my mind. And so when he begins to say the same things to you, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He's our helper. He helps us. He's our counselor. He gives us counseling. But number three, he's our advocate. He argues on our behalf. He goes and tells the devil, you need to shut up. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. Yes, they might have tripped, but it's okay. Because Jesus already paid the price. Tells the devil to shut up. He goes to the Father and he says, they are your child. He's our lawyer. He's making a case for us. He fights for us. That is who the Holy Spirit is. So you must understand, if you're going to get anything out of this message, get these four things. Number one, that God is not mad at you. Number two, that life doesn't have to be so hard because the Holy Spirit is your helper, he's your counselor, and he's your advocate. That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. You know what's so interesting about us human? It's so interesting that if Daniel trips up, it's so easy for me to believe for him and say, dude, it's going to be okay, man. Holy Spirit still loves you. I mean, I know you made all those people upset, and Jesus died for them too, but he still loves you. You're going to get back up. But then you know what's so hard? When I fall,
You know what ends up happening?
I'm just the worst person, man.
Man, yeah, Jesus loves them too, man. I hurt them, and I don't deserve any of this. It's very hard, is it not? You ever find yourself believing for other people, but you can't believe for yourself? That's where you run to the helper, because he begins to help you. The same way that you helped him, you counseled him, you argued for him, you fought for him, saying, come on, man, get up. Don't believe the lies of the devil. In that same way, the Holy Spirit living inside of me begins to help me. He says, come on, get back up. He begins to counsel me. It's going to be okay. Jesus died for you on the cross. It's okay. Just confess your sin before God. He's going to forgive you. And he begins to advocate for you. He begins to fight for you on your behalf. He begins to argue on your behalf. That is who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is available to anybody who wants to receive him. The Holy Spirit is available to anybody who says, I want to believe in Jesus today. Is it hard at home and with the situation with your mom and your dad? Absolutely. But you don't walk alone anymore. Who do you have? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is my
helper.
My helper. He is my
counselor.
He is my
advocate.
So you don't have to walk around the house. You don't have to walk around the office. You don't have to walk around the school feeling like you're by yourself. No, you have the Holy Spirit that will help you in every area of life. You got some kid that wants to beat you up in school and take your lunch money? Holy Spirit, I need your help. I don't know, give him diarrhea or something, but he's not taking my money today. Pray like that. Pray prayers like that. You want to know? I can't remember who this was. If you're here, let me know if you're not embarrassed. But there was somebody who wouldn't come to church. And I said, hey, man, come on. Come to church. He's like, oh, yeah, I will. They wouldn't come, I think, to youth. I can't remember what it was. And I said, I can't remember if I was with some friends or mutual friends or something. I remember I said, Lord, if they won't come, give them diarrhea for a week so they can come. And I can't remember. I want to say that they started coming or something, or they gave their life to Jesus or something. Because I remember them telling me, but I can't remember who it is. And so I remember I prayed, and it really happened. Get creative with your prayers. You know, I didn't say, Lord, cut their hands off until they come. Like, I didn't say that. Let them get in a car crash so they can come say, oh, Jesus is sorry. No, you know, give them a little bit of diarrhea, and they'll be all right. And they'll be better. Pray that. I pray that out of love. But I remember, I can't remember who it is. If you're here and you're embarrassed to raise your hand, then let me know afterwards so I can tell the complete testimony. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight because I believe that you are entering into a new season in your walk with Christ.
Amen.
You're going to enter into a season where the Holy Spirit becomes your best friend. Where you understand that you're not alone. That you don't need the reassurance and reassurance of your friends and reassurance of everybody else. But that you know that the Holy Spirit is in you. And that when you speak, the Holy Spirit backs you up. I remember for so many years, when I would write out my sermon notes, I would go to my dad and I would say, can you read that? Is that okay? Did I say that right? Is this okay? And I needed that. But the moment that I understood that the Holy Spirit is with me, and he helps me write my sermons, he helps me preach, he helps me walk this life, I stop asking for so much reassurance. The Holy Spirit is with you. Because you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And now God wants to use you. And anything that you do in this life, now understand this, because it's going to connect. Anything that you do in this life, it's no longer by your own strength. Now it is the Holy Spirit in you who helps you. That's why when you pray for the sick, Angie prayed for a homeless guy.
Amen.
At the car wash, right? Prayed for a homeless guy at the car wash. And then, as she was praying, I think, or right before, she was like, oh, hold on. I just learned that if I pray for the sick, God will heal them. Sir, are you sick anywhere? Or, you know? And then the guy's like, yeah, I have back pain. She prayed for the guy, and instantly, the back pain was gone. He had a herniated disc, and I don't know, C4, C whatever it is. I don't know any of that stuff. But yeah, like a herniated. Is that a spinal thing or no?
That's a bomb.
Oh, that's a bomb. My bad. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. Or it's pre-workout if you're crazy like that. But yeah, it was like a herniated disc. She prayed for the guy, and instantly the guy was healed. You know why that happened? Because she believed that the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the Holy Spirit living inside of her would do the work. It's not by my strength. All she did was pray. The Holy Spirit did the rest. So the moment that you step out in faith, and you pray for the sick, you pray for people, hey, you look tired. Yeah, I haven't gotten any sleep. All right, well, let's pray so that you can get the best sleep of your life tonight. Not that you're going to die, but that you're going to wake up. You're going to get the best sleep. Just be careful when you pray. Because one time I did pray for someone. Father, I pray that they would rest in peace. And I go, in a peaceful room in Jesus' name. So be careful. But the Holy Spirit will do His work. He will do it through His own power. Amen?
Amen.
You just have to believe. So I want you to close your eyes.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.